This is a work of the Durham Church of Christ. Visit our website at durhamcoc.com.
We're going to now conclude our study that we have been doing in examining the Christ and trying to rid ourselves of all doubt concerning Jesus the Christ. And today we're going to focus upon ridding ourselves of any doubt concerning the Church of Christ. You know, if we drive down the street or walk down the way, we're going to see church after church after church, especially if you're in the southeastern part of the United States. There are so many churches. There's Mark's church, John's church, Matthew's church, Paul's church, Peter's church, the Catholic church, the Presbyterian church, the Methodist church, the Baptist church. There's church after church after church. But which church is the church belonging to Christ? Because all of these churches teach different doctrines. They have supplemental material that they use, that they go by in order to operate themselves and govern themselves. Or they don't accept any type of doctrine, including the Bible. There's interdenominational churches that just go by no doctrine, and all doctrines are considered. And then they also not only go based upon different doctrines, but they teach different things concerning salvation because they go based upon different doctrines. They have different heads, different headquarters, different organizational hierarchies. They have different forms of worship. And so if you were to walk into any one of these church buildings during their service times, you're going to get something different, be taught something different each time. And so we know that all these churches cannot all be belonging to Christ, because Christ does not contradict himself. God does not contradict himself. God cannot lie. Titus 1 and verse 2. And so, how can we know which church belongs to Christ? First, let's understand that there is one church that belongs to Christ. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 16. We're going to study the oneness of the Church of Christ. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus states unto Peter that he will build, he says, I will build my church. He does not say, I will build my churches. In other words, I'm going to build many churches that are all going to have different doctrines, different beliefs, different heads. It's not what he states. He states he's going to build his church. Singular. The church that belongs to Jesus is one. There is one church. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23, we learned that the church is his body. And then in chapter 4 and in verse 4, we learned that there is one body. Well, in 22 and 23 of chapter 1, we learned that church and body concerning Christ are synonymous. His church is his body. Then in chapter 4 and verse 4, we learned that there is one body. Synonymous word, church. There is one church. How many churches belong to Jesus? A multiplicity of churches? Absolutely not. There is one church that belongs to Jesus. One church. Now, who is the head of this one church? As we think about now, moving from the oneness of the church of Christ to the ownership or headship of the church of Christ. Well, again, in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 22, we learn that, and he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head of the church. The Pope is not the head of the church. An organizational hierarchy that has other systems of government is not the head of the church. But Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is. Now, within various congregations, Jesus has established by his headship that there be autonomous authority within those congregations. That is, the congregations themselves are self-ruled by Jesus, not by an organizational hierarchy. Paul tells Titus in Titus chapter 1 that he is to ordain elders in every city. See, as Titus would go around to various congregations, there would be elders ordained in every city. Not over every city, but in every city. Leadership within the first century, if we go through our Bibles and look at how the first century church was led, we learn that they were led by elders, by a multiplicity of elders. For example, the Ephesian church in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 28, we learn Paul tells the elders, "Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Who owns the church? The one who purchased the church. Who purchased the church? God purchased the church. How? With his own blood. And he has then also ordained, authorized overseers or shepherds or pastors or elders. A multiplicity of elders. A multiplicity of pastors. Not just one elder, not just one head, but a multiplicity of elders and of rulers, if you will, within the church. But the ultimate head is one, and that's Jesus. But he has authorized then there to be elders, a multiplicity of elders, within any given congregation. And so we understand then the ownership of the church. But let's also think about the objective of the church. The church's objective is to teach the faithful and save the lost. We see in Matthew chapter 28 that Jesus commands the Great Commission, and he states to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." What's the church's objective? To teach all nations and do what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But then likewise, verse 20 states, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. Jesus has commanded us, the head of the church has commanded the church to save the lost by teaching them the gospel, by baptizing those that believe the gospel, and then to teach those who have been added to the church by obeying the gospel. Now, if that is the objective of the church, who else is going to fulfill that objective? You go to these other churches, and the various doctrines that they are teaching regarding salvation are not consistent with what Christ has taught concerning salvation. We went over in our previous lesson, not doubting the salvation of Christ. And we went over how Christ has taught man how to be saved. Well, these other denominational groups, these other interdenominational groups, they don't teach what Christ has taught concerning salvation. They teach their own ideas, their own doctrines, but not the church of Christ, not the church belonging to Christ. It is the objective of the church of Christ to teach the truth about salvation. And it is only the church of Christ that will teach the truth regarding salvation. And it's been said before that if the church teaches the Bible, then the Bible is going to make Christians only. And the Bible is only going to make Christians. And so, in other words, someone is not going to come to the Bible and obey the Bible and become a Baptist. Because the Bible makes Christians only. The Bible is not going to make a denominational group. The Bible is only going to make one who is of Christ, belonging to Jesus Christ. And so let's rid ourselves of all doubt concerning the church belonging to Christ. Are you a member of the church of Christ? Are you having doubts concerning the oneness of the church of Christ, the ownership of the church of Christ, or the objective of the church of Christ? If you are, study the church. Understand the purpose for the church. Understand that Jesus came to establish one church, that he is the owner of that church, and that there is an objective for his church. That's to seek and save the lost and to keep the saved faithful. And so as we consider these things, let us rid ourselves of all doubt concerning the church of Christ.